Welcome back to another episode of the On Deck Circle podcast, brought to you by the Fantasy Six Pack. I am your handsome host, without an accent, Nick Zanaboni. How are you today, everybody? I am back, and we have a full group this week. We got Jason back. Jason, come on in, my guy. How are you, bud?
Nick, what's going on? It's good to be back.
I feel like it's been like a month since we've had like the whole gang.
I think you might be right. It's definitely been like on off one of us. So it's definitely weird to have all three of us back tonight.
So how did the baseball season go, or is it still going for the coach?
We're almost done. We have one. Spring summer ends this next week coming up is our last week. Then we get a couple weeks off for like the 4th of July holiday, and then quote unquote fall ball starts back up at like the end of July. So
exciting time.
Nice little break, yeah.
At the end of last episode, Dave and I spoke about who the asshole was here.
And I mean, it's not that hard to...
Unfortunately, this past week, it's you. You're all over me about my stuff. And I need Dave in here just to back me up. Because just ricochet... Oh, my God.
We've gone back to the future.
Hello.
We're back to the future here.
Can you guys hear me?
We can. It looks like Dave is
7 years old. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I think
Dave's now 7 years old.
I'm more handsome and now I have more hair.
It's like 17 again with Matthew Perry, I think.
Except for you're 10 years older.
Yeah.
Well, actually, no, 10 years younger.
Yes.
I'm getting my words mixed up.
Yeah. Hey, you're just nervous. You're in front of maybe three people right now.
Two of them are me and Nick.
Hey, guys, I got a question.
What's up?
Who's your favorite baseball player? Nick, you go first.
Oh, wow. It's Rafael Devers. Boom.
Are we talking current or all time?
Jason, who's yours?
Current or all time?
Let's
go current.
Any player.
Current? Well, right now, current's Ohtani. Easy.
I think.
What's your guys' favorite TV show?
Jason.
I'll say all time Seinfeld.
I'm going Ted Lasso.
All right.
Sorry, Jason, couldn't hear you.
Seinfeld.
Ooh. I watched that.
You have?
I haven't.
Oh, okay.
You watched Ted Lasso?
What in the world? I never hear that name for.
Do we got another one?
Mine is probably, it used to be Garfield.
Nice.
Ooh, nice.
And now it's Walking Dead.
Walking Dead. All right.
Whoa, all right.
That's a transition.
That's an aggressive show.
Talking Dead.
They have that on after The Walking Dead when they talk about it.
1 second.
It went from
kicking my dog.
Oh.
We went from Nick's question of the week to little Dave questions of the week.
It's little Eddie.
Yeah, there you go.
I have to go to the bathroom.
All right, good luck. All right. Well, then.
All right, well, that was quite the intro.
All I've got lots of season 7.
Oh, yeah, so we were on the asshole topic, yes.
Yeah.
I have been giving it not only...
You should want the Celtics to win.
No, absolutely not. I'm sick of Title Town and
no, that's not a thing. This is like your friend Nick being genuinely happy.
I've never been a Boston person.
Around or what?
What's up?
Oh, Dave.
Now we've gone back to the future. Now Dave is aged again 50 years.
We're talking about
who the biggest asshole of the three of us is.
Oh, it's you, and Jason.
This last week, yeah. I mean, I'll wear that on my chest for sure. I've just been harassing Nick constantly.
You're a major dick.
I'll be there on Thursday. Sad when they lose, apparently.
Yeah. Yeah, sure most likely.
Make your $35 necklace like so you can throw it across the gym.
Well, I want you to be that guy that grabbed the ball and took the shot. That's what I want you to be in this game six.
You want me to be like Hank?
Yeah, I want you to grab the ball and just shoot it and get kicked out.
You know what I want you to be like, Nick? I want you to be like the judge of Dynasty Court.
Oh. Dun-dun-dun.
So why don't you go ahead and lead us into this week's topic and go ahead and start court.
All right. At the beginning of this season, we went over our fantasy awards. And that is a theme for this question today. I want to talk about my guy, someone that I've loved for 2 years, because he's only been around for 2 years, about Alek Manoa. And I would call him the fantasy Cy Young of this season. Dave, what say you? Do you agree or disagree?
I am by default here going to agree. And, you know, I think it comes down to a combination of simple numbers and some Statcast numbers as well. So one thing I want to point out is, and I know we don't normally talk about this when it comes to drafting, but, you know, wins is something that you don't draft for, but during the season, obviously you need. And Alek Manoa is 8-1. So, I mean, that's a huge boost just, you know, as a tiebreaker even, you know, over some of these other guys. And then I don't know how you can argue with his ratios. He's got a 1.67 ERA. That's good for second best in the league among qualified starting pitchers. And his whip is well under one. It's at 0.91. You know, and the one thing that I would say is part of the topic of today's show is going to be about how much I hate pitching because it's so unreliable. But yet here's Alek Manoa leading the league in games started and near the top of the league in innings pitched. So, I mean, I don't know what more you want from somebody.
All right, Jason, why is he not the Cy?
Yeah, so if not Manoa, then who? Well, let me talk to you a little bit about Shane McClanahan here.
Hold on.
Right, Dave, okay.
Which was my pick for Cy Young. Go.
Okay. So Dave did talk about wins, right? Manoa does have 8. However, McClanahan's 1 behind him at 7. If it looks more of the stats here that you would see maybe in, I guess your traditional 5x5. Strikeouts, McClanahan has almost 30 more. Actually, does have exactly 30 more than Manoa. He has one less walk than Manoa, so the whip is actually better in McClanahan's favor. The K rate is actually through the roof. It's 35.5%. The Manoa is only 23%. And if you look at even some of the more advanced stats, he's got, you know, 12.19 K per nine, which is almost 4 Ks more than Manoa. His ground ball rate is almost 50%, which is almost 14% better than Manoa. His ERA is, a slight tick higher than Manoa at 1.87. And if you look even further, his ERA is 2.46. You want to keep going. The FIP is 2.45, which is better than Manoa. And if you look at the XFIP, which is actually almost 2 runs better than Manoa, is at 2.02.
Okay.
Wonderful. How about we talk for 5 minutes instead of like a minute? That's cool.
Well, he was talking about my guy, so I might as well let him talk. No,
I was not given any sort of warning when to stop. So
yeah, Nick, 1 minute.
I think I messed up here. Hands up. I forgot that. So does this need to be mutually exclusive with AL and NL or no?
No, it's fantasy.
We're talking fantasy.
We play mixed leagues.
Because when we did the awards, we did AL, NL. So I got confused with it. So
it's okay. They're both in the AL.
I have a question. I'm going to give you a name of another pitcher. He is from the NL. And coincidentally, also my NL pick for Cy Young. Sandy Alcantara. Mm-hmm. Tell me why I should pick Alek Manoa over Sandy.
Who's going first?
Oh, Dave, this is just for you starting now. Go.
Oh, well, I feel like this is a setup because I have to argue for Alec Manoah to be the Cy Young. And so why would I pick him? Let's see. If I had to go with something, I would say I have no fucking idea. Jason, you're up.
Okay. All right. Well, Jason's question is actually different.
Oh, okay.
So, Jason, I want you to tell me what pitcher would you take over Alec Manoah in a dynasty redraft right now?
Didn't I just say that? Shane McClanahan.
Another one, because I had these questions already planned.
Sandy Alcantara.
All right, with that, I'm going to ask you. I know we talked about wins. I would pick Manoah strictly just because he's on the better team. So for me, they're both there.
Mm-hmm.
Manoah's 24, Alcantara's 26. I get it. Like, it's 2 years, but whatever. I want to know, does it matter to you as a dynasty owner that he's on a better team in Toronto than Miami?
For me or Dave?
You, Jason.
For redraft, yes, but for dynasty, no.
Okay. All right. Well, this is going to be the easiest one of all time.
There's Joe Bond saying, you're making Dave have to defend a pitcher with that show title?
Feels it's all about design, like Joe.
Joe, chiming in from the surgeon's table.
Yeah.
Joe, do not get shoulder surgery. I had it. It was awful.
I'm sure he's going to take that advice. To
you should. All right, I have a new gavel. It's a card with Elton John's face on it.
Oh, wow. Beautiful.
Or we can have a card with Roy Kent's face on it from Ted Lasso.
Nice.
Elton John.
Jason, John. You can pick one because you're going to be the winner.
It's got to be Roy Kent.
Also, I forgot to talk about my tattoo. I told you I was going to show. We will save that for the end of the show.
Nice.
The winner is Jason, obviously, because it was a tough question, Dave. I'm sorry.
Yeah, because Nick sucks at Dynasty.
Yeah, I saw that thing come across the show note thread, and I was like, oh, this is an easy W.
Yeah, easy.
I may have to start coming up with the topic.
But you know. I mean, in Nick's defense, Manoah is having a hell of a season, and he also had I think he's up to 11 quality starts out of his 12 starts.
Yeah, he's
11 of them have been quality starts. So if you're in a quality starts league, I mean, there might be a slight bump to Manoah in quality start leagues.
He's number one for me.
I think it would have been more a matter of a question of, is Shane McClanahan the Cy Young? And I could have argued against that, but we're here to talk about how much pitching sucks. And anyone who follows me on Twitter has probably seen the GIF that Dynasty One Stop was kind enough to make for me, where I express my hatred of pitching. And so we're going to run through some list of reasons that I hate pitching as part of our news, because it's all pretty recent. And we'll start with Casey Mize, my fabled Detroit Tiger. He is headed for Tommy John surgery. Now, this was no surprise, and I'm actually, if anything, I'm more surprised that we didn't get this announcement a month ago, just because this has seemed inevitable for quite a while. I guess they had time on their side to some extent, because whether they announced it a month ago or whether they announced it a week ago, he was missing all of this season, and he's going to miss all the next season anyway. So I guess he could have announced it 2 months from now, and it probably wouldn't have made a huge world of difference. But so, yeah, Casey Mize is the next one to get hit by the bug. And I know Jason was talking earlier about having him in TGFBI. I drafted him in TGFBI. I thought he was going to be a guy that was going to provide good ratios. Not much of a K guy, but I thought, you know, nice ratios. I thought the Tigers would be decent, give me a few wins maybe. And instead, we got basically nothing from him. So what are your guys' thoughts here on Casey Mize?
I'm going to bury Casey Mize. Done.
Yeah.
This is it. Easy. He's even when he was pitching, he wasn't the guy I thought he was, which that's me being wrong, but the Tigers were also very wrong.
And I was wrong, and Jason was wrong, and everybody was wrong. He was considered safe.
Yeah. He was considered very safe. He'll 200 innings. He'll be great. And he isn't. I think we see a change of scenery within the next – by the next time he's – the next time he pitches will not be for the Tigers. I'll say
that. Yeah, I disagree with that entirely.
Yeah.
Really? No one's going to trade for him, so he's pitching with Detroit.
I can see someone trading for him.
Yeah, definitely. That doesn't happen. It happens in fantasy all the time. In real life, that doesn't happen.
I can see it. He'll be 27 20 pitches.
You can't trade a guy on the IL anyways. So,
okay.
Maybe until when the season's over. He'll still be on the IL. But anyways, yeah, that's definitely 100% not happening, Nick.
I'm calling bullshit, Dave.
We'll make a bet. We will bet the face value of your Boston Celtics season tickets for 2023. Whatever that number is, I'm comfortable with.
That is a lot of money.
Right. Exactly. That's how confident I am.
Jason.
I know.
No.
It's a bummer.
Yeah, no, I mean, just, you know, for dynasty purposes, it's not the news we wanted, but, you know, he's still young. He's still only 25. And like, you know, I think we've talked about it before. Pitching always takes a lot longer to develop than hitting. But again, I don't know, you know, you're not talking about he'll be at least almost 27 around 27 when he does kind of make his return. Again, he's not that guy we thought he was taking it to 1-1 in the MLB draft. The K rate's not quite there, but again, he did kind of rebound last season, have some good ratios near the end of the year. So I was really hoping for him to take that next step forward this year. Obviously that's not going to happen, but I think in dynasty purposes, he still has some value. As long as you have IL spots, which most dynasty leagues do. So definitely still stash him. I still think he's got some value there.
So real quick, the best thing to come out of the Casey Mize Tommy John surgery is I am officially famous now because I have gotten a Twitter troll who went back like 4 years on me talking about, you know, like I thought Casey Mize was like, you know, a good pick. And, you know, I mean, I could take any pitcher that was drafted and I could say, oh, this guy's going to have arm troubles. And then I could go back 4 years later and be like, ha, told you so. Well, that's what this douchebag did. So anyway,
yeah, that was
fuck
weird.
That guy. Yep. So fuck that guy and fuck Steven Strasburg, because Steven Strasburg, Nick and I talked about him last week.
Yep.
He comes back off the IL, goes ahead and has a terrible start and heads right back to the IL. So don't want to spend too much time talking about this, but do you guys have really just real quick any hope that Steven Strasburg is a thing ever again in dynasty or in fantasy baseball?
Nope.
No, I mean, I can't imagine him being anything more than just a streaming option at some point, you know, down the road. This might be, you know, basically at the end of his career. This guy's already amassed 1,500 innings pitched in his career from 2012 to 2019. And now he's only been at 30 innings pitched in the last 3 years since being back to 2020. And then even this start this year was just abysmal. So I don't know what kind of value he has left anymore. I think this might be, if he's going to come back and it's anything, it might be some sort of like short relief pitcher. But even then it's like, I don't know what the value there is.
And so next up is the guy that we were talking about, Cy Young award winners that we predicted earlier in the season. Walker Buehler was my NL Cy Young winner. He is headed for a lengthy IL stay as well. We're looking at, they're saying 6 to 8 weeks. I had him in, I don't remember what I had him. I think I had him in the relegation league and I just dropped him. I mean, I've got so many, I don't know. I've got so many guys that are, you know, IL eligible and whatnot that I probably, maybe it would have been wiser to hold on to him and see what happens towards the end of the year, but I just dumped him. So, I mean, again, I don't think that this changes his dynasty value at all because it's, you know, it's a short-term injury, just long-term for, you know, the season. But just real curious if you guys have any change in thoughts on Walker Buehler now.
I think, I don't know, maybe it was if injury related, but he was already having a down year this year. You know, his ERA was just over 4. He was only striking out like 22% of the batters he faced. Even the velocity was down a tick or two. And then the Statcast data, if you look at that too, is just not overwhelming. So I don't know if, again, that was just related to the injury, but even prior to this year, I don't know, maybe it's wash it up to the injury. But yeah, I don't, again, necessarily dynasty value doesn't change too much for me. I think he's still a stud. But yeah, the velocity being down, and if you look actually over the last 2-3 years, his velocity has been going down predominantly over year over year. So I don't know if that's something to kind of monitor going forward in Dynasty, but he's done basically for the rest of the fantasy season as far as this season. But yeah, Dynasty, I think, you know, he's got some value for sure.
Yeah, what makes me not excited, because I like Walker Buehler, he seems like a good guy, but what does this mean for Frankie Montas and Luis Castillo? Who would you rather the Dodgers trade for fantasy-wise in general?
Luis Castillo is always Dave's answer.
Yeah. It is Luis Castillo, but I was hoping someone would say Frankie Montas.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, we'll see who becomes available. I mean, to be quite honest, it's not like they don't have guys floating around. I mean, Dustin May is going to be back at some point.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they just sent down Mitch White, who is probably a serviceable starter if they wanted to. Mm-hmm. I mean, yes, they're going to end up trading for somebody regardless, I would imagine. But, I mean, you would imagine that Buehler's back in time, at least in time for the playoffs, if not, you know, earlier than that. So, but yeah, they're gonna trade for somebody regardless. Yeah. So let's get to probably maybe the most disappointing of them all, and that's the Grayson Rodriguez injury. So this is a guy that I thought had a chance to win, you know, AL Rookie of the Year, and I think some of us were talking about comparing him to somebody else, and I said, oh well, Grayson Rodriguez is gonna be up before that guy is. Well, he's a pitcher, and so, of course, he got hurt because Dave hates pitching. And anyone that's any good at pitching just likes to get hurt. So this is a guy that don't believe the talk that, you know, you could see him in 2022 still, because that doesn't make any sense. There's no reason for them to rush this guy. They said he could be out for 12 weeks. Well, that puts you basically, best-case scenario, what, the middle of September? So with
the Orioles aren't doing good.
So with like 2 weeks left to go in the season, like what are they going to bring him back for? The minor league season is going to be over. The Orioles are going to be playing for nothing. There's absolutely zero reason to bring him back. So just if you have any hopes of him pitching for some reason this year, you can just forget about that right now.
Yeah, you just nailed it on the head there. No, go ahead, Nick.
I just found out about this when you sent over the show notes. I had no idea that he was out. So yeah. when I read that, it was the immediate Twitter search, and I was like, "Oh man, like this bummed me out." Just because I know Joe is a big Orioles fan, and he was probably excited about this because they have nothing to really be excited about. Because Adley Rutschman might be a bum, but hey, who knows? Jason,
no, I was going to kind of agree with Dave here that it's definitely they're just going to be safeguarding their assets. There's no way they're bringing him back this year. Like you said, we're going to bring him back to make one spot start in the majors in September. There's no way. So, yeah, he's basically done for the year, and it's really is a shame. He was basically the number one pitching prospect before the season started, one of them. And he's off to a great start this year, too. You know, he had a 37% K rate. He only had a 2.09 ERA and a 1.64 FIP this year. So, again, he was knocking on that door to be brought up. And we're just going to get that taken away from us this year, which, you know, as fantasy, you know, players, it's like, you know, it kind of sucks. As an Orioles fan, it also sucks, but I get what the Baltimore Orioles got to shut them down.
So unlike pitching, which always gets hurt and I absolutely hate, as you know, do you know what is never disappointing?
Down on the farm.
Down on the farm. So this week is my turn, and I'm going with a guy who has been on the radar and then off the radar and then back on the radar in a huge way, and that's Esteban Ruiz, who I've actually seen play a little bit here in Lansing, and he has been tearing it up for multiple levels this year. Now, most of it's been at Double-A, but he's gotten a little bit of run at Triple-A as well. But either way, like I said, anything Double-A and above, I give some credit to, so even though his numbers, you know, are mostly at Double A, his numbers at Triple A have actually been a slightly bit better. So I'll rattle off just the numbers combined. So let's see, we're talking 205 at bats. So not a small sample size, not a crazy sample size, but not small, about a third of a season's worth. He's batting 356 with a 481 OBP, all good for a 1,125 OPS, so well over 1,000. He's kind of a small dude too. He's like what, 6'2"? No, he's like 6 feet, like 170. So he's a kind of a smaller dude. And he's knocked 12 homers. He's got 41 RBIs. And do you want to take a guess at how many stolen bases he has, guys?
32.
I cheated. I can't.
He has 41 stolen bases.
I was almost clear.
Nick, he has 41 stolen bases. Like, do you realize how many that is?
37 at Double A.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
We're not talking low A, exactly.
How many is he stealing, like, the whole year, do you think? He's got to be, like, 80.
Well, I mean, it's not uncommon for him. So, if you look back at his totals, if you look back at his totals for seasons, I mean, he had 13 and 56 games, so nothing crazy there. 26 and 52, 49 and 117, 34 and 98. Last year, he had 36 and 84. So, this is definitely on the high side. But how ridiculous it is again, if you were to extrapolate this out, we've gone a third of the season, he'd have 123 stolen bases. Like, obviously, that's not going to happen. And I don't know if he's going to be up at the big leagues or not. Probably won't make the big leagues at any point in time this year. It's got to be a next year kind of a guy. But either way, he's literally on pace right now for a 36 home run, 120 stolen base season while batting well over 300 and an on-base well over 400. Like, that's just absurd. And I don't know exactly what we can expect, like, when he gets up to the majors, because he's basically been about a 250 hitter, 325 on base for his career. It's been averaging maybe about 10 home runs, but he's going to get you, probably 30 steals. So I think the steals will carry over, because at the big league level, it's not so much about speed as it is, your want to run. There's plenty of guys in the league that could go out there and steal 20, 30 bags if they ran, but they just don't for a variety of reasons, I suppose. But I can see him coming up and, probably again, you're probably looking at, a below average hitter, below average on base, but with a little bit of pop and a ton of speed. So that screams utility guy to me, which I know that the Padres don't need. So maybe the Padres end up, maybe they can move him at some point. He doesn't become the main piece of a trade to acquire, a hitter or something, but he becomes, a secondary piece to a trade, to acquire somebody. So I don't know. I'm curious if you guys have any thoughts on Ruiz here before we get into our final segment.
Yeah, just kind of piggyback what you said, speed is definitely his biggest attribute. I think it'll definitely play at the major league level. So yeah, that's always something to keep an eye out. And yeah, you're talking about almost a steal a game in this season. So it's because he's only played in 55 games and has 44 steals. So yeah, it's pretty high steal guy. So I'm definitely keeping an eye out and see what he does.
Yeah, when I read that you were doing him, I said to myself, oh, I like recognize that name from like a year or two ago. And then he kind of fell off, and just like you said, he's kind of right back up where when he was good. He's becoming a name again. So that's I don't have any shares of him, but I'll be looking out for him.
Guys, this is embarrassing, but I have to go to the bathroom real fast. You guys talk amongst yourselves.
This is gonna be a bit. This is a bit. It has to be a bit. Tell me he has like a mustache on this time.
Yeah.
Season 7.
You got a tattoo?
Yeah. It's actually a Ted Lasso tattoo.
Oh, no. You're that much of a fan, huh?
Oh, yeah. It's on my thigh, and it just says, be a goldfish. So that's fun. Oh, there he is. He's back. I was just going to die. Sorry.
The first time, I scared the heck out of you. The first time, I was like, what, am I turning into, like, Jason Myers or something? Like, how creepy can it be just not seeing your normal host?
Yeah, I know.
Like, you shocked us.
Yeah, so that was the whole trick. We were trying to shock you.
It's a good bit.
So what we were doing is we're trying to shock you. It was like, I think we were on a bike ride, so we were talking about it. So he was like, "Oh, I do have a podcast." And so what he said, what he said is, you know, do you want to be on it? I said, heck yeah.
So, okay, so the question for you then.
So
I got a question for you.
Yeah. So then I came on.
What's your thoughts of Estruri Ruiz?
No idea what that is.
Okay.
Bless you.
So I do play baseball, though.
Yeah?
Nice.
Yeah. The only really player that I know is Miguel Cabrera.
Sounds like me.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
So my game, I heard you already talking about this, Dad, but my game did get delayed by some rain.
Mm-hmm.
So the moment it started sprinkling, I had to run to home. And I'm like, I'm going up to bat last. So they're saving best for last.
Yeah.
That's right.
What the other kid said. They're saving best for last.
There you go.
But everybody else is going to be last, so really everybody is the best then.
So you're only last the first time through the order, and then you're the first or the second, it doesn't, you know?
Yeah, this kind of falling out.
I need you on every week.
This needs to be like a segment. We need a segment. Yes? Is that a yes?
I don't know how to say it.
The audience.
Audience. To all the audience, like and subscribe to the video. We will see you next week.
See ya.
See ya.
Bye, little Eddie.